Matt Flynn, direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. One piece of good news for American foreign policy: Biden restoring our alliances around the world. Remember that Donald Trump said he was going to withdraw 12,000 of the 36,000 troops in Germany. Now, ever since I was in the Navy in the early 70s, ever since the end of the Second World War, we've had troops in Germany. A lot of friends that have served in Germany, and I'm sure a lot of you have either served in Germany or even known people who have. The troops in Germany are a U.S. presence in Europe that is welcomed by the Europeans. We have military personnel, by the way, in Great Britain, in Holy Loch, Scotland. We have a submarine base there. We have NATO ports. Our ship put in, we were basically home ported in the Mediterranean with the 6th Fleet in Naples. And the Italians were very, very good to us. We put in frequently in Spain, put into Greece, put into France, Toulon, France, Piraeus, Greece. Piraeus is Athens port. That is an American lake. That is what the Mediterranean is, and it should be. Otherwise, the Ruskies would have been in it a long time ago. Now, in this particular case, what Trump did, Trump betrayed the United States. You know, Trump talked MAGA, make American great again. He didn't mean any of it. He was insincere. This is a guy who wiggled out of the Vietnam draft, hung around the nightclubs in New York, and trashed John McCain. This is a guy who sucked up to Putin mercilessly because he was being blackmailed by Putin, being blackmailed with money, funded by the Russians, Russian autocrats. Eric Trump said that to a journalist. And also in the Steele report, the sexual blackmail, an extreme perversion on a video. A lot of people said, nah, that's just fake news over there. Well, let me tell you something. Look at Trump's conduct to Putin. A man does not lick the boots of an adversary, has an economy the size of Italy's, has one aircraft carrier that breaks down all the time, and Trump licks his boots. That really hurt us. That really hurt us. And as a result, then Trump said, nod to Putin, we're going to reduce American forces in Germany. And if Trump had gotten in again, he would have taken out the rest of the troops in Germany. Putin would have licked his chops and gone into Poland, Latvia and Lithuania, which they occupied before, just like he did in Ukraine, say, try to do anything. But with 36,000 troops in Germany, at the invitation of the German government, Merkel's government, every government wants American troops there as a buffer against the Russians. Now that Biden is back in, he's reversed the order of Trump, and he's going to add some more troops. It's a symbolic number, in my view, 500 more troops. So instead of getting down to 24,000 troops in Germany, we're going to have 36,500. Now, could they resist a Russian invasion? Of course not. A Russian invasion would come by air and so on. But American troops are not lightly attacked by the Russians. The Russians, remember last time what happened in the Second World War, they were saved by America. They are saved by America. And we did it despite the fact that they did a treaty with the Nazi Germany and sided with the Nazis initially. And they were going to divide up Poland. And then the Nazis invaded Russia and stabbed them. And then they had no choice but to beg for help. They lost a lot of people in the Second World War. They don't lightly want this. What Putin is doing is he's trying to divert attention from a lot of problems at home and a lot of dissatisfaction. And the best thing you can do to divert attention from bad performance to start a war. George W. Bush did that. He did that. He invaded Iraq on false pretenses. He knew it was false pretenses. He was getting killed in the polls. George H.W. Bush did that initially. Remember with Saddam Hussein going into Kuwait, George H.W. Bush, envoy over there, ambassador to Kuwait, April Glaspie, signaled falsely to Saddam Hussein that if he invaded Iraq, we didn't have a dog in that fight. That was a trick. He went in. We crushed him, obviously, because they're a weak military. And as a result, after what George H.W. Bush did and George W. Bush did, ISIS was created. ISIS was created when Saddam Hussein was killed. Saddam Hussein was a Sunni Muslim ruling a Shiite country. He reached out to all ethnicities and religions. He had a Christian foreign minister. These guys were all attacked. And then when the Sunnis in Iraq realized that the Shiites were going to get them, they formed ISIS and they spread terror, murdering Christians, murdering Yazidis around the Middle East. This is what happened. That's the thumbnail sketch, okay? Thumbnail sketch of what happens. We have got to be strong, and it starts with Germany and Europe holding the line against the Ruskies. Holding the line against the Ruskies. Back to the United States, up in Brooklyn Center, near Minneapolis in Minnesota, that police officer who shot a guy who was simply sitting in his car, pulled over, no threat, killed him, said that it was because she thought it was her taser. Well, she and the police chief, Gannon, both resigned. They both resigned. 60 people were arrested yesterday in connection with protests. Enough is enough. One of the most compelling pictures I saw was of a little girl here. I think it was in the Milwaukee area, and she was holding up a sign, an African-American girl, and it said, "Please stop killing us," with a heart under. Please stop killing us with a heart. The truth is, right now, a police officer in this country, and this happened in Kenosha, this happened in Minneapolis, and this happened in Brooklyn Center, it happened out east with Eric Garner, can be strangled, shot in the back, or simply shot sitting in the car, and there will be likely no consequence to the police officer. Now, the Chauvin case in Minneapolis is going to trial. That was an exception. That was a long overdue exception. But let me boil this down. We talked about this before, and I'm simply going to say this. 99% of police officers are wonderful people. I have two in my family, cousin and uncle. They face danger every day. They've got to be backed up. I back them up. But there's a handful of rotten apples, just like there's a handful of rotten apples in the Senate, among bank presidents, among members of the Congress, among businessmen, among anybody. There's always a handful of rotten apples. And there are some who realize that you can have the ultimate thrill. Hunt the ultimate game is to hunt a human being. That's the ultimate game. And they think, well, technically I can shoot them. Now, up in Brooklyn Center, there's some evidence that this officer actually thought it was a taser. My question is, why are you tasing a guy sitting in his own car? You have his license plate number. Go arrest him later. Why are you even tasing him? Tase a guy, you can get a heart attack, can lose an eye. I mean, a lot of things can happen. Why are you doing that? But if an officer says, I was reaching for my taser and I mistakenly took out my pistol, that doesn't cut it. It does not cut it. Otherwise, any officer could say that, and there would never be consequence. She resigned. The police chief resigned. I think that going forward, there has got to be a mandatory resignation or termination of any officer and police chief when an unarmed civilian is killed at some kind of traffic stop or something nonviolent. It's a rebuttable presumption. The police officer absolutely has the right to defend him or herself. Say, well, he brandished, it was a toy gun, but it looked like a real one, or he did this or he did that. And if they're correct, then they don't get terminated. And if the police chief can come in and say, look, I had training on this. I told these guys not to do it. I explained how not to do it. He can get reinstated. But a lot of these cowboys wink and they chuckle. They wink and chuckle. They wink and chuckle. That's exactly what they do. So anyway, up in Brooklyn Center, good news. This police officer and police chief have resigned. There are more protests. You can say, okay, she should not face a felony charge of murder. But if you just shoot somebody by accident, that's reckless homicide. And that has got to be what's charged. I take no pleasure in charging police officers. They themselves, in many respects, are being victimized by this too, in the sense that they're essentially being winked and told, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. They're being misled. It's time to put an end to that. It's time to put an end to that. I'll tell you something else, and this is just a funny little, I don't know how funny it is, actually. Germany and Japan have now proposed doing joint naval operations in the Pacific, in the South China Sea. Now, I'll tell you what, in 1943, if Germany and Japan had proposed joint naval operations in the Pacific, they certainly had joint war operations, it would have been a very, very bad news. Here is good news. Here is good news. This is a signal to Russia and to China that we have strong allies against these adversaries if they continue to sword rattle in Taiwan and Ukraine. Knock it off, guys. Stop sword rattling. Get back to the table. Get back to arms control. But in the meantime, great. Let's build the Japanese Navy. Let's build the German Navy, with one exception. I do not want Germany and Japan to have nuclear weapons. Okay? That's it. We control that. We control the defense of all our allies. France and Britain have nuclear weapons, and that's fine. It's the way it is. But we control the defense of our allies. So don't be surprised if you see German and Japanese flotillas in the South China Sea. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.